Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This is our Power to Live Well series, and we've been working on this kind of off and on for really a while now. And since it's been a few weeks, I'm going to give us a little reminder of the point of this series. This is session 5, entitled The Power to Control Our Thoughts. And what we're doing in this series is we're talking about the power that has been given us if we will do very simple things. And that is identify a biblical principle where God promises He'll do good stuff if we do something His Bible says. Identify the biblical principle and then apply the biblical principle. That's really what we're talking about. We're talking about the power to live well, very much in our hands, unrelated to our circumstances, very much related to how we live before God and live before each other. And it's applying very simple, but sometimes difficult to motivate ourselves to pull off, but very simple in the natural, biblical principles. And if we'll do that, the Holy Spirit promises us power that'll change our life. Here's what I desire from a pastoral standpoint. I want, when I preach the Word of God, I want to give you stuff that's going to impact your life, that's going to cause you to be able to love Jesus more, that's going to cause you to be able to love people better, that's going to cause you to be able to live a life in God a little bit stronger, a little bit more full, a little bit more pointed than you did before you came in. And this series, I've been just stirred in my heart to give you the most practical tools that if you will do them, you will have a different life. If you will do them, your life will be better. I promise you. Because it's the Word of God promising us, if we apply simple principles, we can actually live stronger. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So, I want to talk about our thought life and the incredible measure of authority that we've been given to control our thoughts and therefore live out of the strength of a better perspective. So, first verse I want to give you is Romans 8, 5 through 6. And I want to talk about the purpose of our mind, will, and emotions. God gave us a mind, a will, and emotion. These are not negative things. These are not like carnal things or human things. These are things God gave us. But like anything, if we don't use them right, they can work against us. And so I want to talk about how we're supposed to be using our mind like a tool, imagining our mind as a tool that we can either use. You can pick up a hammer and you can hammer nails, or you can hammer your friend. And if you hammer your friend, you have used a tool for a point of malice, as opposed to its intended point, its intended use, to hammer nails. I want you to think about using your mind the way God wants you to, as a tool to improve your life and to be able to walk in power that the Holy Spirit gives us. Here it is, Romans 8, 5 through 6. Those who live according to the flesh, they have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. This is Paul talking about using our mind to either set our mind on the stuff that God wants for us to be thinking about, or we set our mind on the stuff we want to think about, the stuff that we want, the stuff that we're desiring. And he says, you're going to have a trajectory either towards God or towards carnal life. And it's going to be dependent on what you do with your brain, what you do with your thought life. The mind governed by the flesh is death. Death bad. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. I want you to pay attention to this. Your mind can actually be a participant by your own choosing with a life of death or a life of life and peace. And it's up to you. Well, we want to have a longing to please God with our thoughts. We know this verse out of Psalm 19:14. I just love this because it talks about our capacity to be able to be productive and to use our mind in a way that pleases the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight. The meditations, the things that I'm pondering, I'm milling on, I'm chewing on. Oh God, help me That the stuff that I'm doing internally, the stuff that I'm choosing to give my mind, will, and emotions to, God, help me that the stuff I'm giving myself to inside would make you happy, would please you. This is a great prayer because it actually helps empower your desire to have a Spirit-led life, a life where your mind is governed by the Spirit instead of governed by the flesh. You're saying, oh God, help me. Help me not meditate on things that are unhelpful. Help me not give myself over and my thought life over to things that are going to be unhelpful. I want to say this. This is just it's kind of a philosophical idea, but I think it's not so far that, you know, even the least of us will probably be able to get it. I mean, I'm there. The majority of your life, the majority of your existence, the majority of who you are and the sum of your life happens between your ears. The majority of your life is not the sum of your external experiences. It's how many tens of millions of thoughts you thought. How many things you gave your heart emotions to. You know, if somebody comes up to you, hopefully we're not so vain, but if someone comes up to you and says, what are you all about? My boat. I'm all about my boat. My car. No, like, who are you really? My house is who I am. No, I want to know, like you, my job. I am my job. No, we don't think that way. We think about, well, my favorite movie is this, and I really like this, and oh, man, this really ministers my heart. And I like people, and I like to do this. We start to get a little bit more of who we are on the inside. That's who you are. The majority of who you are and your life happens in your thought life. It happens in what you're milling on and giving yourself to and thinking about. How many nights you're laying awake in bed thinking. You're still alive. The battery's still charged. You're still on. You've not turned off yet for the night. That's who you are. You are the sum of your thought life. You are the sum of what's going on internally. Well, if you live most of your life out of your mind, will, and emotions, and if the Bible tells us that we can control what we think about, this gives you tremendous authority in your life. Because this means that the majority of your life, you can actually control, because it's happening in here and in here. The majority of what's going on, you actually have significant control over. I want to say it this way. Don't water trees you don't want growing in your yard. You know, there's some trees that have tried to spring up in our yard, and we make sure that they get mowed over. And sometimes even uprooted. Because we don't want that tree right there. Some little, you know, vermin planted an acorn and now there's a tree trying to grow up right there. But that's where I want the kids to be able to play. You have a choice of what thoughts you choose to water and which thoughts you choose to mow over and try to uproot. You have a choice. And I'll just tell you this, whatever you water will grow. Bring up that verse in Hebrews 12, verse 15. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows. That no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See, bitter roots, you could replace the word bitter with anything. Bitter, envious, angry. No angry root, no depressed root, no bad root grows up. See to it. You have control. You can see to it that it doesn't grow up. And what happens is it grows or squelches by you watering it. And the way you water it is your thoughts. You think on it. You meditate on it. Lord, let the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Don't give thought attention to the things you don't want growing in your yard. Do not give it any energy. Don't think about it. If you think about it, you're watering it every time. Well, I didn't mean to water it. I wasn't trying to water it. You were actually nurturing that thing. I mean, if you turn a sprinkler system on and you're not careful, it's going to water the grass as well as that tree you're trying to kill. You need to uproot that thing. Don't think about stuff that is going to be unhealthy. Don't give it attention. We can renew our mind. Romans 12:2 tells us that no matter what mistakes that we've made, I'm going to call them mind mistakes, no matter what trees you've started to water that you didn't want watered, no matter what you've given attention to in your mind, you have the ability by the Word of God, because it's the breath of God's Word, it's the breath of God, When you read the Word, you have the power to transform, to renew your mind. Revelation 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Don't do like the world does. You know the world doesn't have the Holy Spirit. The world doesn't know how to control their thoughts. The world doesn't even know that they can. The world is going the direction of the world. Don't be like that. Instead, don't conform to that pattern, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Read the Word, believe the Word, let the Word wash over you, apply the Word, and trust that what the Word of God says is true, and it will renew your mind. Here's the difference. The world and even our own carnal selves will have ideas. All of those ideas are wrong. All of them. All of them are going to get you in trouble, get you off course, send you on a trajectory away from the purposes of the Lord. The Word of God, the Bible, is the plumb line. Let's replace our ideas with His ideas. Let's replace our perspective with His perspective. Let's replace how we feel about stuff with how He feels about stuff. When we take the Word of God, it transforms us and renews our mind only if we believe it. If we read it and if we apply it, we go, "Oh God, help me to believe this is true." I want to tell you, however jacked up your mindscape is, the landscape of your mind, you can renew it with the Word. It's not just reading it, it's reading it and going, "That's true, what I think is a lie. That's true, how I feel is incorrect. That's true, what the world around me says is not accurate, the Bible is true." That's how we renew our mind. We take the truth and we overlay it on top of the lie and wash that thing out. We make the truth our new foundation. When we do this, look what Psalm 1:1 says. "Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on His law day and night." Blessed is the one who takes the Word of God, meditates on it, and makes that the new plumb line. When we do that, we are blessed and we experience the blessing of the Lord, because currently in our mind, there's all these wrong ideas, wrong feelings, wrong thoughts. We can take those and replace them with the truth. And if we do, we are blessed. I want to say it this way. Take the ideas, form our thoughts around what you want to become. If you don't want to become an angry person, do not think angry thoughts. Take those thoughts and say, "I'm not going to think about you." If you want to become a gentle person, don't think about how to retaliate. If you want to become a person who's, you know, filled with love and kindness, then don't think about the opposite things. Take just a very simple 1 + 1 = 2 sort of equation. In your mind, decide what it is, the kinds of thoughts you want to think about and the kinds of thoughts you do not. Decide what you want to do. Because the Word tells us we have control. This is where the power is. This is what I want to tell you this morning. This is kind of the pinnacle moment here for this message. You have the ability to control the thoughts that you think about and the thoughts that you don't. Now, I recognize sometimes some of those thoughts come strong. And you're like, "I just want to think about this." But if you know you shouldn't, don't do it. If you're on a diet and they bring that cake and you know you shouldn't eat that cake, don't eat that cake just because you want cake. You say no to cake if you're on a diet. Now, if you're not, you eat the cake. Boy, how do you eat the cake? Can you tell them on a diet? Yeah, okay. So my point here with this is you have authority over what you decide to give your thought life to and what you decide not to every second of every day. It is one of the most powerful gifts that we have as individuals. You can decide what you think about and what you don't think about. Look at the verse in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We can take our thoughts captive. I love this verse because of how spiritual warfare it is, how violent it is, how like going to war it is. All right, look at this. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." Now here's what this looks like. All right? Imagine your mind, okay? Imagine like a battlefield, okay? It's all flat. Just try to get the picture here. It's flat. Maybe there's some trees and some mountains off to the side. But where you're at, there's just this big field, okay? And up over the horizon is coming this one guy, this ugly-looking dude. He's got a mace in his hand, and he's coming at you. That guy, his name is Angry Thought. And he's coming thinking you're going to fight him with like a sword, okay? Instead, you get out a 50 cal gun. And before he gets anywhere near you, you completely obliterate him. You have the ability to take out those thoughts in your mind. The scripture says you can actually make them your prisoner. Take captive that thought. Instead of that thought running rampant in your mind, instead of that angry thought, that envious thought, that lustful thought, that entitlement thought, instead of those thoughts having power over you, the Bible says you have power over them, but only if you exert the power. You know what happens if you just let that guy run around up there? He is going to just pillage and plunder and cause all kinds of problems. You have to take him captive. And you can. You have the power to take captive every single thought. Now, we've got a lot of thoughts that are from the Lord that we want running around. Let them go crazy up there. But there's a bunch of thoughts that are unhelpful, unhealthy, they're poisonous, that you do not want to have free reign in your mind. And you have power to take those thoughts captive if you choose to. You have power right now, in a week, in a month, in a year. You have power to take your thoughts captive if you'll choose to. But if you choose not to, they will do whatever they're going to do, and it's going to cause you problems, but you have a choice. More than the ability to take captive the bad, Colossians 3:1-2, more than our ability to take captive bad thoughts, we have the ability to create new ones. We have the ability to set our mind on good things. So instead of that, you know, ugly ogre or whatever it was running at us, after we take him captive, now we can choose of our own volition to think on things above and not on earthly things. Look at this. Colossians 3. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. What that means is, since you're a different person now, since you have the Holy Spirit, since you have access to power that you did not have access to when you were lost. Before you had the Holy Spirit in you, you did not have the power to do this. But since you've been raised with Christ, since now you are a believer in Jesus and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you, you're a different person with authority and access to power. Since you have that power, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Don't think about earthly things. Think about heavenly things. Think about the nature of God. Think about the objectives, the purposes that He has in your life. Think about the heavenly reality. Think about what the throne room looks like. Think about Jesus on the throne. You have control. You have control of your thoughts. Yes, but I feel this. I'm thinking this. You can take those things captive. And you can choose in that moment to set your mind on something better. You can choose it. I want to tell you, if we will choose to do this, we will live completely differently than the person next to us. That guy at work, that person at the drive-thru, whatever. You can live completely different. You can live on a completely different plane, in a higher level. Because you are choosing to not give attention and strength to thoughts that are unhelpful and unhealthy. And you are choosing to think on the things that will be beneficial to you. Look what Paul says. Paul, on this whole concept of spiritual warfare, this was a big Paul thing. Like, Paul loved talking about this subject, about the ability in your mind. And remember, Paul spent a significant part of his ministry in jail. So Paul had to get good at this living in his brain thing, because so much of Paul's life was happening between his ears and in his heart. Because so much of his life was capped. He couldn't do so many things. He was in jail. So here's what he says. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You have power to decide what you think about. That person just cut me off in traffic. I'm going to think about cake. Oh, that cake is delicious. Somebody just stepped on my toe. I'm so mad right now. I can't believe they did that. I just got passed over at work. I'm going to think about Jesus instead. What world are you living in right now? You just got your job taken away from you. Yeah, but I don't want to think about that. Well, sounds like you're trying to live someplace else. I am. I'm trying to live up there. I actually want to be as up there as possible while still having my feet here. Because I want to live better. Yeah, but I just got in this argument and man, this thing is so bad. Don't think about the argument. Stop thinking about it. Why would you do that? Because I just argued. So you want to give more attention to negative thoughts? Like, Don't think about that. Yeah, but the natural process is, I had an argument, so now I need, you know, an hour to kind of come down from the argument. No, you don't. Just start thinking about Jesus. You can choose. Yeah, but this person did this thing. I know bad things happen. But you don't have to let those bad things last 1 second longer than they last. You know the what we do to ourselves is torture? Bad thing happens, because bad stuff happens. And then we think about it. We water that tree. We give it attention. Oh, my day is ruined. Why is your day ruined? Because a bad thing happened. Change what you're thinking about. Stop thinking about the bad thing. Don't give it any more attention. It's over. Well, yeah, but there's these ramifications. Just think about Jesus. Whatever is excellent or praiseworthy. Look, go on a list and come up with anything that's true. I'm still God's. He loves me. He's still on the throne. Anything that is right or good or pure. Think about these things. Don't think about the bad stuff. Yeah, but I want to. No, that's actually the enemy who wants you to and has convinced you it's a good idea. It's normal. It's prudent. It's mature. A bad thing happens, so now I'm going to think about the bad thing. That's dumb. That is a really, really painful way to live, and it's totally unnecessary. You have power to take your thoughts captive. You know why you would take somebody captive? Because they're bad. You wouldn't take somebody captive because they were good. You want them doing what they're doing. Just keep doing your thing. You take captives captive because they're bad. Paul says, take those bad thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. Make them obedient. Line them up to whatever is pure and noble and excellent and praiseworthy. Line them up. You take them captive. You have power. You have power in your mind to decide what you will think about today. This is one of the most powerful gifts that we have been given in Christ. We have the power to choose what we think about and what we don't think about despite our life, despite our circumstances. I want to give you some categories of unfruitful thoughts. I just want to help you identify some things that are totally unhelpful. Thinking on distracting things. Thinking about your busyness. Why would you think about how busy you are? Well, how is that productive? Well, I'm so busy, I got to... Don't think about that. Just stop. How does that actually help you? I'm so busy. Now you're just giving in to, like, unhelpful. Don't do it. Giving in to nagging problems. This thing won't go away. So now you're giving it attention. You're watering the tree of the nagging problem. If it's a nagging problem that isn't going away, you can't solve it by thinking about it. Why would you give it additional attention? It's unhelpful. It will own you. When our mind is racing or going from one topic to the next, take your attention span captive and focus it on something. Thinking on unprofitable things. Things unrelated to the kingdom of God or to your calling. Things that are just time wasters. Daydreaming about things that you know are not God's intention for you. You know it. You've had conversations with the Lord and He's shown you clearly that is not my plan for your life. Why would you then spend time and energy thinking about that fantasy that you know God doesn't want you to have? Why would you give any attention to that? When we do, we're watering it. What happens when we water it? It grows up into a big tree that then becomes very difficult to ignore. And it winds up taking over the whole backyard. It can wind up taking you out. Don't water daydreams that you know are not God's intention for your life. They don't even have to be totally sinful, though some of them are. They can just be something you know is not what God wants for you. Don't think about that. You're in charge. Not the circumstance, not the bad situation, not that other person. You're in charge of your brain. You are in charge of your mind. You can choose what you think about. Don't think about painful things. I just want to make this really clear. We do not have to think about the way that we've been wronged. Everybody's been wronged. You'll be wronged again. You might get wrong before you leave if we're not careful. You're going to get wrong. That's how it is. Don't think about it. Why would you give attention to that? You don't have to think about the way that you've been wrong. You don't have to think about how the finances aren't working. Instead, just pray. You don't have to think, oh gosh, the finances, is this, I need this. And don't think about it. What? Thinking doesn't fix it. Thinking unfixes you. Thinking clutters your soul. Thinking confuses your mind. Thinking shifts your perspective off to things that aren't important, that don't matter, that are unhelpful. Don't give attention to the thoughts of the finances aren't going to work. Don't think about it. Instead, just pray. Relational issues that you can't solve. Stuff that you just can't solve. Why think about that? Why give time and energy to it? Listen, you only have so many seconds that you're going to be alive. Why would you spend a chunk of your seconds thinking about things that you can't fix, that are unhelpful, that poison the water? Why would we give attention to those things when we have control? It'd be different if we didn't have control, but the Bible says we have control. The Bible says we can actually control what we think about every second of the day. Now, you can't control the attack. The attack comes. Boom. But you can choose what to do with it once it's there. Am I going to think about it, or am I going to take it captive, make it obedient to Christ, and get back to business? Get back to thinking about the stuff that I want to think about. Things that make you sad, can I just tell you? Stop thinking about things that make you sad. Don't sit there and think about it. It's not helpful. It's just making you sad. Like, you could actually think about something happy and then you'd be happy instead. You don't have to think about things that drag you down, that make you sad, that make you feel bad. Like, why would we do that? You don't have to give attention. You don't have to give thought life to those things that are going to take you down. Thinking on evil things, lustful thoughts, envious thoughts, hateful thoughts. Like, it's unhelpful. I'm going to run through this real quickly. We probably won't have time to look at the verses because I want to get us out of here pretty quick. But I just want to say that we can put to death, let's put up that one, Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. This is Paul again saying, you have control of those thoughts and those emotions. Put them to death. Instead of giving attention to those thoughts, to those feelings, to those emotions, put them to death. And instead, think about the stuff that you know is going to be beneficial. Listen, I've tried this. When I'm in a bad mood, when something happens, and I realize, oh yeah, wait, I'm in charge. I've got the Holy Spirit, I'm in control. I'm not controlled by my day. I'm not controlled by their decisions. I'm not controlled by circumstances. I'm in charge. God gave me the Holy Spirit. I choose to think about you today. I choose to think about the good things you've done in my life. I'm not going to think about that bad thing. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't make it go away. All it does is rob me of seconds. Rob me of joy. Rob me of peace. To think about it. Why would I think about it? Because that's what you're supposed to do. Who told us that? Where is that written in the Bible? When problems happen, give lots of thought life to those problems. Find me that Bible verse. When someone's mad at you, mill on it for days. Where is that? It's not in there. The reason it's not in there is because it's the total opposite of how we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to take our thoughts captive. Don't give over to envious thoughts. When you catch your thoughts envying, take them captive and stop it. You're watering a tree that will grow up and destroy you. When you catch yourself thinking angry thoughts, don't give attention to it. So we can get that verse up there. James 1:19 through 20. I think you maybe skip one. Everyone should be slow to become angry because human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Human anger does not produce righteousness. You have a choice. Don't give over to those angry thoughts. Take them captive. Depressing thoughts. You know, I had a revelation this week. Sometimes we take the subject of depression and we treat it differently than we treat the subject of lust. And I just had this revelation. In the way that we're supposed to approach them, it's the same. You feel lustful, you're having lustful thoughts, take them captive and don't think about lustful thoughts. You're feeling depressed, don't give in to those thoughts. Take them captive. Just like you'd take a lustful thought or an angry thought or an envious thought. Don't think about that depressing thought. Don't think about it. Don't think about hopelessness. Take it captive instead. Put your hope in the Lord. We're supposed to take approach to these things. Take them captive instead of letting them take us captive. Accusational thoughts against people. Or whatever other thoughts. You know, each one of us is different. Each one of us has got a little bit different scenario where we're weak. A little bit different lineup of the things that we struggle with. I just want to tell you this. Whatever thoughts you're battling, in the Holy Spirit, you have control. And you don't have to think about them. You can choose what you think about. And I'll tell you, if we will actually apply this thought process, you can change your life. You can add significant power to the way that you're living, because so much of our life is lived in our brain. And we can choose what we're giving our thoughts and our attention to and what we're not. I want to encourage you, come up with a list of things. Go back over that list that Paul said about whatever is excellent or praiseworthy, noble, you know, all that pure, right? Go look at that list and maybe make yourself a sub-list off of each one of those words. Come up with 5 or 10 things. And every time you find yourself in one of those moments where you're battling to think about something that you don't want to think about, you're like, I know I shouldn't be thinking about that. Pick something that you've already identified and give yourself some time to meditate on that, because the Word of God says if we will meditate on Him, if we will meditate on His Word, we will be blessed. But if we will meditate on our words, on the world's words, on our circumstances' words, we'll actually be cursed and confused and bored and angry and mad. The Lord desires more for us, but we've got to choose what we think about. And I want to tell you, you have that ability every second of every day because you have the power of the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Because you were seated with Christ in heavenly places, you can set your mind on whatever you want.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.